You're listening to an LA Kings podcast. For more episodes of this and every other Kings program, visit lakings.com/podcast.
Hey everyone, another episode of the Rain Check Podcast. Jared Schaffern and Josh Schaefer with you. And we've got our president of the Ontario Reign, Darren Abbott, joining us this week. And Darren, this is for some people, it's the dead of the summer. We are months away from the home opener. It seems like we're far away, but exciting that the schedule was just announced. We know where the team is going to be. We know how many games and everything. It's a little bit different this year with a 72-game schedule. But, you know, I feel like behind the scenes, this is when things really start picking up, because the planning and a lot of the things that go into the season, this is when everyone starts getting in gear.
Yeah, I think this is when you literally flip the calendar and start thinking about the following season. But before we get to that, did you just get back from New York or something? Your accent seems awful thick today.
No, I haven't been to New York yet. I still got to go later in the summer, but maybe that's, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's, maybe I've been talking to everybody from New York or something.
It sounds like it. You're awful famous in South Carolina, Jared. A lot of people were asking about you, all the media back there.
Well, yeah. So did you get to see Bedsy? Obviously, your connection with Jared Bednar, head coach of the Colorado Avalanche, a guy you know pretty well.
Yeah, no, we had a great time. And what was really cool was just the alumni that came back for it. You know, too many to mention, really. But just a bunch of players that have stayed in that area. And, you know, myself, my wife, Claire, we haven't seen in so long. And it was great to see. It's great to see a guy, you know, have that success and celebrate it with them. But that's enough. He can have one. And it's time for the Kings to get going again.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was going to ask what your offseason has looked like so far, but obviously paying pretty close attention to what the Avs were doing this postseason.
Yeah, I know. I think it was interesting the way things wrapped up for the Reign and the Kings. You know, we both kind of ended within, you know, 36 hours there. It was a little disappointing, but, you know, the Kings had a great run, and the Reign certainly had a great season, and all of a sudden it was over. And you know, but now it's back to business as usual this time of year. You know, getting the business plan together, getting the budgets, you know, finalized. They're pretty much done, and you know, working on getting the staff in place. And we're here at the AHL meetings in Hilton Head, myself and Rich Seely, and you know, he's really just rounding out his roster now, and you know, getting the final pieces plugged together. And you know, of course, the big news, the schedule came out, and that gets everybody busy. Once you get a schedule, you know, the clock's ticking, and it's time to get to work. So that's what we're doing. We voted on the schedule, and we got to get moving now. Rich is busy planning travel, and like I say, I think he's got one or two more guys left to fill in the roster, and then we can drop the puck in a couple of months.
The big thing with the schedule for a lot of fans, I mean, 72 games, so a few extra games at Toyota Arena during the regular season, and really for everybody, you know, there's no more points percentage. You can just look at the points column this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely a point situation, and we don't have to worry about, you know, we've had a lot of I don't want to call them growing pains, but a lot of interesting approaches to the schedule and to the playoff system and the AHL through the years, and it seems like it's really starting to round itself out and starting to make sense. And this year's going to be fun. I mean, we, you know, Coachella Valley coming in, we're gonna, you know, we'll have an instant rivalry with those guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, Calgary and, you know, Stockton's moving to Calgary. That's going to be, you know, a bit different. I mean, it'll be the same in terms of colors and things, but now that they're up in Canada, I think it provides some challenges to Rich and his crew in terms of travel. You know, but you want to talk about an opportunity for our fans if they want to go out on the road and see like a world-class city and maybe get up into the Banff and Jasper area. That would be a fun trip to make. So it's cool. I think the league's in a really good place with the schedule now. It's balanced, and you know, we've got enough teams in the Pacific Division to divide up those games and play a balanced schedule. So I think the hockey guys are happy, and I think our fans are going to be happy. We're going to see a nice mix of teams coming through.
for so many people, specifically fans, the schedule, you're kind of just waiting around for it. And then the schedule is out and the schedule is whatever the schedule is. But from an actual team perspective, from a front office perspective, what are some of those discussions like when the schedule is being, you know, voted on, when it's being debated until the point where it finally gets finalized and released?
Well, we call it horse trading because that's what it is. You know, there's a balance between the home schedule and, you know, and the hockey team. I mean, if we're being honest, Rich is concerned about the wear and tear on the players in terms of travel. Myself, Nate Downer, we're really concerned about maximizing weekends for our fans and you know, trying to fill the building as best we can. You know, we all know that Wednesdays can be challenging. There's certain nights that we really want. You know, New Year's Eve is something, you know, we've kind of stuck a tent pole in there. And so we like having that night. So sometimes you have to trade, you know, with teams. And but the league office led by Melissa Caruso, the VP of Hockey Operations, she does a great job putting the schedule together. She's very communicative. I think our relationship with Toyota Arena right now is as good as it's been. And so we've got a great schedule this year. We're excited about it. You know, like I say, I mean, going to Canada, I think Rich has to go to Canada four times, you know, and so that's going to be a challenge financially. And, you know, the flight's a little longer, but it's not like it was really easy to get to Stockton either, if we're being honest. I mean, the team had to fly to Sacramento and then take a car down. So, you know, or a bus rather. So, you know, it's not perfect, but it's, you know, it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good for the fans. It's getting closer and closer to, you know, a big league schedule where it's balanced and fair.
You've got 9 teams in the Pacific Division, so it makes it easy to play each team 8 times. You've got 72 games right there. That works out really easy. That's a pretty balanced schedule. And for you guys, you mentioned the weekend dates. Those are so important. When you look at the weekends, you got 10 games on Friday. You've got games on Saturdays and Sundays. Not many weekday games, 28 out of 36 are on the weekends. How important is that for our team and our business to make sure that games are coming on the weekends?
Oh, it's vitally important. It allows us to have, you know, theme nights and the real big thing to remember in Ontario is such a big part of our business is the group sales business. We're blessed with, you know, one of the largest season ticket bases in the league. You know, we'll get back to having that. We just got to wait for a couple of these new teams to cycle themselves through, and then we'll start beating them on the ticket base again. But we, you know, group sales are really, really big for us, as you guys know, and it's hard to sell groups, on weeknights. So many of our groups are youth groups, whether it be sports or school groups, choirs, you know, dance teams, those type things. It's just hard to get them out on weeknights. It really is. And, you know, if we're being honest, we can fill some gaps in with, you know, holiday parties and business gatherings, but it really is, you know, tough to make up the ground on weeknights. So having those weekend games and being able to have our Friday night $2 beer nights and, you know, having the Sunday afternoon games where people can bring out the kiddos, that's great. And you know, everybody loves a Saturday night. And I just love the fact that we slot them in there at 6 o'clock. I just think it works perfect for our fan base. And it's just worked out well. And that came back from the ECHL days and Justin Kemp's leadership with the Rain and the ECHL, that 6 o'clock Saturday. I think it's wonderful.
Something it seems like we've been really excited about was kind of after the schedule comes out, diving into some of the special games that people like to keep an eye out for, which are some of those theme nights. What are, from what you can tell us, what are some of what's the situation with the theme nights? What are we looking at so far and what do we really know?
Well, you told me not to say Cobra Kai, so I'm not going to say that. I think we're going to, you know, first and foremost, we're excited about the Empire Classic. We've had this on the books here for a while. You know, Kings versus Sharks on the 28th of September. That's going to be a lot of fun. We've had Kings v Kings, but this is an opportunity for our fans to really get behind the Kings and cheer them on against the Sharks. And you know, that'll be fun. That's going to kick off the year. And that comes at an early time for us in terms of, you know, the 28th of September. Opening night's, you know, a couple weeks after that. So it gets the staff, gets everybody in a good position to get ready and to, you know, after the Empire Classic to get ready for that rain season to start. But no, we're going to, Josh, answer your question. We're going to, you know, have a lot of the same things that we've done before. Teddy Bear Toss, Pink Night, New Year's Eve. Well, West nights become very important. And then You know, the promo schedule is not quite out yet, but we've been talking about a lot of cool stuff. I mean, you know, I mentioned the karate that I'm not supposed to talk about, anime, something that we're talking about. You know, we want to try to match the intensity of Wild West night with maybe like a Hard Rock night or a, you know, 80s hair band type night. I think we're gonna have fun. New Year's Eve this year, we're gonna try a casino on the concourse, and you know, we've got a lot of creative people. Coming out of the pandemic, I think all you young people had a lot of time to sit around and think about things, and we've had some great ideas. And you know, can we get them all done? I don't know, but I think there's going to be some new and different things going on at the building, and it's going to be fun nights to come to, and hopefully we can execute these things. You know, Wizards, anime, Cobra Kai, those type things, and you know, Hard Rock. We'll keep, you know, Jesse and the mayor happy, and try our best with that too.
You mentioned the Empire Classic, and, you know, wanted to go back to that because I think it's really cool. I mean, obviously the NHL coming anywhere is not easy. You've got all these teams in the league. So to take a preseason game, and the Kings have really been great about doing it. They've obviously have the Frozen Fury every year, but to get that game in the Inland Empire, in the Toyota Arena with Rain fans, I mean, that's pretty cool. There's going to be an NHL game in our building. It is preseason, but to be able to have some of those high-end Kings players, a lot of them who have played in the building before coming up, but to have that for our fan base, I think that's something really special.
Yeah, it's great. I got to thank Luke for that. Like he really worked to get that game out here, and he wanted to do something special for our fans coming out of the pandemic. And, you know, and that's, I think that's more than special for our fans. It's, first of all, we had an exciting year at the Kings with the Kings last year, and this is going to be a chance to see that. You know, some of the big boys will be out here for sure. I think you told me the last time there was a game here, it was what, 09, and Jonathan Quick was in net, and Dustin Brown scored the game's only goal, and you know, those guys were struggling to make the team back then, if you can believe it. You know, and then you think about struggling to make the team, you know, guys that we've been watching in Ontario, Kapari and Velarde and Byfield and those type players. And then you mix in, you know, who knows, we could get our first look at Kevin Fiala. We could get, we could see Sean Walker again that we haven't seen in a while. I'm excited for it. I'm bullish on the Kings next year. I love my summers and don't we all, but boy, it's going to be exciting when the puck drops. And I think that's going to be a fun night to watch. You know, one thing that I've noticed when we've had the Kings v Kings is we're so spoiled in our building. The sight lines are so great. The fans are so close to the action, and our season ticket members get this game in their package. They're right up close. You're watching NHL players, you know, play that close, and just to get a sense for how good they are, it's really cool. And just to get, even watching them in warmups, in the Kings v Kings game, just to see how big they are, how skilled they are, and what they can do. This is going to be a real game, and it's going to be, you know, two teams with a mixture of kids trying to make a team, and so, you know, it can get rough sometimes. And, you know, I know our fans in Ontario, you know, they like the rough stuff. You got a better chance of seeing that in an NHL preseason game than you do in the regular season, quite frankly. And, you know, guys trying to make their mark, and I think it's going to be exciting. There's going to be, you know, hopefully we'll get a look at the roster and get it out to our fans, you know, a little bit ahead of time so they can look forward to seeing different people. But I think it's going to be great. I think it's a great thing. It took a long time to get it here. It's been something we've talked about and we finally got it. So it's, I love it. I hope our fans get behind it, our community gets behind it, so we can make it a more regular occurrence. That'd be great.
Last year, it was Jordan Spence who played in an NHL preseason game against the Sharks in San Jose and kind of showed that maybe he could play. And so maybe this year it's another one of those guys who's maybe a Rain player that ends up showing the Kings staff that, hey, I can play on this level in that kind of an environment.
Yeah, I agree. And then, you know, you take a look at, like, it's getting crowded up there, right? And so – you know, the Elias Andersons, the Carl Grundstroms, those guys just signed the other day. Like they've got a lot to prove in preseason, and it's fun. I mean, I thought the kids played well in the playoffs, and you know, and to get our D, you know, kind of back, and like I say, Walker and Spence doesn't want to get sent down this year. He you know, if I'm him, I'm thinking I'm an NHLer and I don't want to get sent down. So it's going to be competitive, and we haven't had a competitive, you know, this is a competitive as a camp, I think, for the Kings is we've seen in a while. Like, there are some good players that are going to be on the outside looking in, and that, you know, I've been, you know, doing this for a while. I think 2010, I joined the Monarchs, and there's some camps that you could already put the lineup together. And I don't think that's the case this year. I think there's going to be a couple surprises, and it'll start on the Empire Classic on the 28th.
Of course, everybody wants to win, right? Like, that's the ultimate goal, is to win and put fans in the seats. But how beneficial is it for the organization as a whole to not only have that competition in camp to make the NHL roster, but you also have maybe a little bit of foresight to look ahead and expect not just the Kings, but also the Reign beyond that competition to be really good teams this year?
Yeah, I think, I mean, like, Rich has done a great job. I mean, he really, just bringing in TJ Tynan and, you know, Martin Frick left us this year, but you want to talk about two exciting players and, you know, just really kind of ramping up the intensity for our fans. That was such a great combination to watch. And, you know, Fagimo is a player that I think they think they can, you know, create that battery again between those two players. But you know what? Sammy wants to make the Kings. He might be at the, you know, he is a very talented player. We've all seen that. Who knows, if he has a good camp, he might not come down. So, yeah, no matter what, you know, barring waiver claims and things like that, we're going to have a great team in Ontario this year. We really are. And, you know, that last year, it looked like we were bound for the Calder Cup. We had injuries at the wrong time, you know, the worst time, to be honest with you, in terms of our roster. We got kind of boxed in there, and I know that frustrated the fans, but frustrated us too, right, guys? So it's you know, hopefully that doesn't happen to us this year. We'll have a strong team. It looks like the goaltending is going to be very strong, and you know, we'll win more games than we lose. That's for sure.
And the new coach too, Marco Sturm, a guy who also has familiarity with the Sharks, although he won't be coaching in the Empire Classic, but you know, a new coach and a guy who's worked with a lot of these guys, and a new face for the fans to kind of get to know and see him put his stamp on the team this year.
Yeah, I think it's really neat, right? So he coached a national team in Germany, and you know, and then an assistant coach, obviously former King, and, you know, a guy that's been around the game forever, you know, wealth of knowledge, and really, you know, really saw a need to come down to the American Hockey League and hone his skills as a bench boss. So it's going to be fun to watch him. He's a great guy. I'm looking forward to him meeting our fans, and you know, I know we're going to have an event for our season ticket members to meet him personally, which is great. And you know, I don't hear anything but great things about Marco around the league. And, you know, here at the AHL meetings, I've had several people come up and say, hey, you guys are going to love, you know, having Marco behind the bench. So we're looking forward to it. We've got a good staff. Again, like, I think Rich has done a great job. I can't say enough about the diligence that Rich Seeley puts in as our GM in Ontario. And, you know, he's got to put up with Glenn Murray from time to time, but that's okay. He seems to fight through it. And I'm excited for where we're going. I'm really excited for what the Reign's become and what it will continue to evolve into in terms of, like, a real, you know, a feeder to the Kings, but kind of its own team. And you know, hats off to Rob Blake too. He really believes it's important for us to win in order to develop the young players. So he's enabled us to put some pieces around these guys, the Brett Sutters and the TJ Tynans, and you know, some of those type players that really help bring these kids along.
You mentioned the Empire Classic. We've talked about the schedule and opening night. For you, what's the timeline look like between now and then for you?
Well, I got to wrap up the AHL meetings here in Hilton Head, and then my wife's from South Carolina, so I'm going to spend a couple weeks at her house. With, you know, hopefully I can shut down for a little bit and do that, and then it's back. Before you know it, it's mid-August, and it's, you know, less than a month until that classic. So back to California, you know, after a couple of weeks in the sun here, and then we get back at it. And you know, obviously I work with a German team as well, the Ice Bear in Berlin, and they have their opener right before the Empire Classic. So I'll probably go over for that and get those guys underway. Two-time defending DEL champs, so, or the Deutschmeisters. So I got to go check in on the Deutschmeisters probably before that Empire Classic drops the puck. So lot to do, but we're gonna shut it down. I understand the hockey side of the office is pretty quiet right now, and the guys are getting some well-deserved time away, so they need it. I realize how hard those guys work, and so it's good for them to get away a bit, and I think that's what I'm going to do too.
Yeah, we got to see a couple of those Berlin players at development camp not too long ago, and we've got even Juuso Markkanen, the Kings prospect. He's going to play there this year, so there's definitely some more Kings tie-ins with that team. And yeah, it sounds like they're winning a lot, so you're bringing them good luck there.
Well, you know, it's funny that our owner Philip Anschutz, years and years ago, I remember we were in a meeting at the Frozen Fury in Las Vegas, and he said he wanted more collaboration between the Kings and the Rain and the Ice Baron. And you know, since then, Nelson Emerson, you know, his development team and Glenn Murray, they've come over and they've worked on a development camp in June in Germany. And then some of the German kids come over to our development camp, and it's really worked well. And it's interesting that we're placing a goalie there. It's going to be fun to watch. You know, Mr. A he's a visionary, and he wanted us to do this, and they've executed it, and it's paid off. It really has paid off. I mean, Lucas Reichel was, you know, playing for the Blackhawks. He was on the Ice Baron. I remember going over and watching him play. He was a kid playing against men, and he wasn't out of place at all. And so it's exciting what they're doing, and you know, they're finding some players over there, that's for sure. And you know, everyone's looking scraping all over the earth now to draft players. And you know, the Kings guys have really worked hard to develop that relationship with the staff that's on the ground in Berlin.
15th anniversary of the Ontario Reign this year. And I know that spans kind of two sides of the franchise with the ECHL and the AHL, but you know, I don't know if we have a ton of plans. We do have a new logo to celebrate the anniversary, but what does it mean to you when you hear, hey, it's been 15 years for this franchise, and you know, they're still building. Like you said, there's a lot of excitement around it right now.
Yeah, it is. You know, think about Dragons, you know, Jared, Josh, like there's a lot of Dragons that might come out for the 15th year logo and jerseys and things like that. So you know, I know a lot of our fans are, you know, bother me all the time about Dragons, and so maybe there'll be Dragons. If you know, if we're going to talk about the beginning years of the Reign, you have to mention those darn Dragons. So I think it's going to be fun. It's cool. You know, like it's a hard business sometimes, minor league hockey, and the group that was there before us, you know, with Justin Kemp's team, we still have a lot of their same business practices, and so we owe a lot to them, and you know, hopefully they'll come out and celebrate it with us as well. And we still have some of those guys on our staff of the Kings, Evan Flagg and Ryan Miller. They worked for the ECHL Reign back in the day, so it's fun. You know, it's something to celebrate. We've come a long way, and let's bring out the Dragons.
All right, well, you heard it from the man himself. We might be seeing some Dragons this year. I think some people will be excited about that.
I think so.
Darren, we appreciate
it. I don't know about the dancing dragon. I don't know if we can bring the dancing dragon out on the concourse.
That might be too much.
Yeah, that's okay.
We don't even know what, you know, we weren't there for that. So
no, I know.
We don't even know what we're missing.
The night, the Monty Python night with the thing
from the- there's a bobblehead around somewhere of the night. Somewhere in the office or in the arena or something like that. But I have crossed paths with it a few times and have been frightened every time.
No, I know. So the night and the dragon was something.
Well, Darren, we appreciate a few minutes of your time. Thanks for letting us break up the meetings for you. And we look forward to talking with you once the season gets going. A lot in store for the team this season.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Thanks again to Darren for joining us on this episode. We've got much more coming up over the summer as we get set for the 22-23 season. And now that the schedule is out, Josh, we kind of mentioned how balanced it is. It seems like, I know I mentioned it there, but I'm just excited that I don't have to explain points percentage to anybody anymore. Like,
oh, thank
people
goodness.
Can just look at the standings and just say, this is the points and that's it. And not every team is playing a different amount of games. I mean, last year, every team chose how many games they wanted to play. Like, how crazy is that? So glad that we're back to a unified normal schedule, and it's balanced. You know, every single team in the Pacific, the Reign are going to face eight times. It's you know, there's not any overlap with, you're not facing San Diego 12 times. You know, there's very balanced. And, you know, I know the Firebirds are something that's pretty exciting for a lot of people, you know, whether you're a Rain fan who, you know, wants to check out their arena, or if some of the Firebirds fans are probably going to be coming to the Inland Empire. So I think that's cool to have a new team that's closest, a little bit of a new rivalry coming there.
Yeah, and Ontario's home opener is going to be October 14th against Abbotsford. So a little bit earlier of a start time than last year. But then you're right. I mean, Coachella Valley, so the Firebirds, the arena's not going to be ready at the start of the season. So they're still going to complete construction on the new building near Palm Springs. So they're going to actually start the season playing up in Seattle, where they're closer to the Kraken, their NHL affiliate. But what's nice is the Rain are not going to play any road games against the Firebirds until they move out to the Palm Springs area in Coachella Valley. So that's really nice for the fans as well. So you're not missing any road games with the team having to play up in Seattle. You're going to get a chance to drive out there, and it's just a short hour drive to get out to Coachella Valley and watch the Rain on the road. So I think that's really convenient, not just for Firebirds fans to have the Rain so close, but for Rain fans to be able to make that short drive four times this next season for the eight games, obviously going to be on the road out in Coachella Valley.
Yeah. And if you want to just check out that building once it opens in December, that schedule is super backloaded. The Firebirds only play four games in the Seattle area. Everything else is on the back end in Coachella Valley from middle of December on. I think their home opener is about a week before the Rain. The first time the Rain are in Coachella Valley is on December 28th. And about a week before is when they have their home opener. And then the rest of their games of the 36 home games that they'll play, 32 of them are from December on. So it's going to be a lot of chances to watch the Firebirds, whether the Rain are there or not. Rain will be there four times down the stretch there, and then in that second part of the season.
Yeah, the American Hockey League put out a list of every team's home opener all at once. And it's funny because you scroll down the list and it's like October 16th, October 14th, October 20th, and then it's December 18th for Coachella Valley. So there's a little disclaimer that they're going to play some games up in Seattle. But December 18th is their home opener. And then after that, we'll see the Rain out there four times.
Well, Josh, we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to the promos that are coming up. You heard Darren tease a little bit of that. Definitely some funny and wild ideas being thrown around right now. So we'll see what ends up getting chosen and what makes the list. But definitely some excitement coming up as the Empire Classic just a few months away. And there'll be hockey before we know it in the Inland Empire. It is it's kind of crazy when you think about it right now, because it seems like we're in the dead of the summer. But there's so much to talk about. There's so much happening, and it's not that far away until they drop the puck.
Yeah, it seems like going into the summer, I was a little worried because everyone says that, oh, the summer months, you know, it's the dog days of summer. But then also it's going to go really fast. And you're like, yeah, whatever. Well, it's already the end of July. So we're getting there. It'll be right around the corner. And then, like you said about the theme nights, I'm just hoping for another Star Wars night, because you've had a year to watch some movies, watch some of the shows. You've had a year. I'm expecting more from you this year.
Your expectations need to be lowered. I'll tell you that much, because I haven't watched any. Now, if we do bring in the Wizard Night, which I'm campaigning for, I am freshening up on my knowledge of wizards and magical beings. So
okay,
you can expect some heightened knowledge in that area from myself, but not in Star Wars.
Is research including Harry Potter?
Yeah, but you know what? I've seen all the Harry Potter. I've read all the books. Okay. I've seen all the movies, but I have not seen any of the new movies, the prequels,
the Fantastic Beasts.
So
I saw the first one.
I'm watching those.
How are they?
Those. Well, I watched the first part of the first movie, and so far I'm not that intrigued, but I'm willing to give it a little bit more runway because I like Harry Potter. And the newest one came out, so hopefully the newest one ends up being better.
Yeah, I like the first one. I haven't seen the next two, including the newest one. I feel like there's a bunch of different, you know, like series or, you know, trilogies, whatever, that people like that fall under that genre. You a Lord of the Rings guy? I feel like recently Lord of the Rings has totally fallen off compared to some of the other big series.
You're right. When it was out, it was as big as you can get. Yeah. I unfortunately never watched any of the Lord of the Rings or the Hobbit or any of that stuff. So,
wow.
You know, again, that's just not really hasn't fallen under my, I don't know. I just haven't gotten excited about it. And, what's the HBO series that was huge too?
Game of Thrones. Never seen those.
No, I haven't seen any of that either. So
that's just a time commitment, man. People tell me that Star Wars and Marvel are a time commitment. Game of Thrones is a commitment.
The commitment I'm trying to make, which I will admit I've kind of fallen behind on this, because in the summer I like to try to pick one TV show that I've never seen before, and that's a commitment. And like one year I did Breaking Bad, and I just watched all of Breaking Bad, and then I went into Better Call Saul. And so like during the summer, I'll try to pick a show like that. And this year I picked The Sopranos.
Okay.
Because I've never seen The Sopranos, and everyone, one year I did The Wire, which everyone says I loved it. It was great. Yeah. And I'm kind of falling behind on The Sopranos. So I need to, cause that's a huge commitment. The episodes are long. There's a lot of seasons.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm a New York area guy. So, you know, it was just when The Sopranos was out, I was just a little bit too young for it. I, you know, probably was a little bit over my head, but now I'd like to go back and watch that. And I need to hold myself accountable. Haven't done that. So need to get going on that.
I have not watched, I've been trying to watch Succession. It's not like a classic show or anything, but it's like the new big buzz with HBO. Yeah. So I've been trying to watch that. I watched it with my roommate, but we've both been traveling, so we're like weeks behind. So got to keep up with that. Wife, that's the only thing I've been doing.
My wife has seen that one. She says it's good, but
it's good.
I don't know.
It's heavy. Yeah, there's a lot of business stuff where I'm like, I don't understand. We should watch with Darren.
Yeah, we're hockey guys. We're not the business guys. Anyway, well, that'll wrap it up for this episode. We'll be back in a few weeks, and we'll have more for you here as we get set for the 22-23 season. We'll talk to you soon.